If you want people to see your play, one option is to give it away for free. Atlanta-born playwright Lauren Gunderson has done just that. She offered her show, The Taming, to any theater company, group, or person who wanted to do a staged reading free of charge for one day. Tomorrow, January 20th, more than 40 companies across the U.S. responded, including a few here in Atlanta. The Weird Sisters Theater Project has teamed up with Seven Stages and Synchronicity Theater to put on the show. And we have Rachel Frawley from the Weird Sisters with us, along with Seven Stages Artistic Director Heidi Howard, the Artistic Director of Synchronicity, Rachel May, and the playwright herself, Lauren Gunderson, joining us by phone. This is really a treat. So, Lauren, why in this age of intellectual property and everything that accompanies it, why give away your play for free, and why on that date specifically?
Well, because plays are made of ideas, and ideas don't belong to anyone. They belong to all of us. And one of the most magical and important things that theater does, that all performing arts do, is congregate, is gather us. And it's the coming together to hear an idea, to bring your history and self to it as well, that really completes a play at all. So it's not really a play without an audience. And it felt like the right thing to do for this play in particular, a play about conflicting ideas and coming together and compromise and feminism and patriotism, to give this play away for free meant that more people would come into contact with the ideas that make up its heart. And that felt like the right thing to do on a day that's going to be frustrating and scary and dark for a lot of the country. Instead of having that darkness keep you in a shadow alone, let's add some light and levity and laughter, and all of those things strengthen us and bring us together and get us ready to support each other and good ideas to move ourselves and this country forward and through the next 4 years.
As the title suggests, the show is a riff on Shakespeare's The Taming of the Shrew. How did you transpose that story to our time?
I've always been deeply frustrated with that play. As much as I love Shakespeare, I don't think I ever need to see a production of The Taming of the Shrew like it's usually done again, mainly because of my feminism. And the same frustration I had watching that play is the exact frustration I had watching Congress be so obstructionist to President Obama. This play actually was written in 2013, and that was right when the government shutdown was closing national parks and all these government buildings, and people were going on furlough. So this play kind of came out of a way of saying, well, let's take that frustration. Quoting Carrie Fisher, you take your broken heart and you turn it into art. So I thought, what better way to deal with those ideas than to make a farce out of them and use the power of comedy and the way it makes us lean in and get close to an idea while still enjoying ourselves. Using that as a way to unpack what's behind this this frustration, this landscape of division and partisanship. And it actually turned from a social studies lesson that was really dragging me down to this great fun. And frankly, it inspired me to really think about what's next for our country and how can it better serve all of its citizens.
Hmm. Rachel Frawley, you are playing Bianca.
I am, yes.
Okay, I was going to ask how you would compare your Bianca to Shakespeare's Bianca.
Certainly. You know, Shakespeare's Bianca to me always strikes me as a bit of a princess, a bit of someone who always gets her way. And in that way, Bianca does Bianca of the Taming have shades of Shakespeare's Bianca in that she is used to winning and she is very passionate about her side of the story. But where she differs and diverges from Shakespeare's Bianca for me is she is very wily. I would say that Shakespeare's Bianca, while a bit cunning, doesn't have the flair, the social media flair, shall we say, of the Taming's Bianca, who is a much grittier and more grab the bull by the horns kind of a person.
500 years can make a big difference.
Big difference.
Yeah.
She has so many more rights in society. It's exciting.
Thank goodness. Heidi, Rachel, and Rachel. All three of your companies have produced Lorne Gunderson's work before, but what drew you, each of you, to take this one-off performance?
Sure. Well, Synchronicity has a history of work like this, especially bringing together or joining in on work that is a statement and a protest. In 2003, just before we went into Iraq, we participated in the International Lysistrata Project, which had something like 1,200 readings across the world to protest impending war. And what I loved about that and about this project is, first of all, it's fun to hang with these two other wonderful companies and the ladies that run them. But also, this is not a play that tells you what to think. It is not a play that just has one perspective that tells you we should not support our incoming president or we should support our incoming president or anything like that. It's a play that really throws these ideas up in the air. And as artists, we're able to look at the divides that are happening in our country and that exist in our country that this election has brought to light. And as Lauren said, to use laughter as a way to release some of the tension, but also to investigate some of the ideas. In this play, they dismantle or they try to dismantle and rewrite the Constitution to fix the Electoral College. And, you know, the Electoral College has recently been sort of on all of our minds. And so it's interesting to have something that skewers and plays with these ideas that are very present in the zeitgeist right now. And, of course, are concerning to a lot and exciting to a lot, and to give space for both sides to have their say and to find some common ground.
Heidi, would you talk about the partnership these three companies coming together?
Absolutely. As soon as Lauren announced the opportunity to take on this presentation of the work, I jumped on it. I love collaboration. Our space is a space in which we strive to bring people together to have laughter and conversation and heal through art. And it was an immediate, obvious partnership for me. I'm just so honored to be doing it and moving forward with it.
And they're hosting, which is beautiful and wonderful.
Really very generous.
To do it. Seven Stages Beautiful Home.
Sisterhood.
Mm-hmm.
Theaterhood.
Theaterhood.
That's Theaterhood.
Lauren, More than 40 theater companies nationwide have taken you up on producing The Taming. What do you make of that response?
I just find it so heartening and inspiring. I mean, in fact, it's really easy to do what I did, to say, here, I wrote a thing, why don't you all do it? The hard part and the muscle and the might that comes from producing the play, that's where all of this laudatory instinct should go.
Lauren, were there any surprises among the responses, some cities or towns that you might not have expected?
There's a bunch. There's like three readings in North Carolina, I think two in Raleigh and one in Charlotte. And, you know, that's been a pretty contentious state the last couple of years. So I was really heartened to see that. I mean, all of the battleground states are represented. We've got a couple in Florida and Pennsylvania and Ohio. So those states have definitely been on my mind in the last little bit. And, of course, I'm from San Francisco. So I am excited to see a couple of San Francisco readings and various different in the Bay Area and across the state. So it's really exciting. I mean, I will say that going to the theater is, it's always something of a political act. Making art is a political act, no matter what you end up making, because creating something is a statement of progress and a statement that there is a more perfect world that we can have with each other's creativity and best thoughts.
For some, is this their first time ever producing one of your plays? Is this an introduction from some of the companies who've responded?
Yes. Probably a quarter of them are familiar with my work or me, but a lot of them are new friends of mine now, and some are brand new companies. There's a young woman in Salt Lake City, I believe, who just started a company, and this is the first thing that they're doing. And her company is all about women's voices, so that's really heartening to hear. And you know, in the context of doing the good work of calling your senators, calling Senator Isaacson and Senator Perdue, calling your congresspeople, and you know, doing the easy 15-second work of letting them know what you think about all that's going on, showing up and going to the theater and meeting people you hadn't ever met before, sitting next to somebody you might not know or think like, that's great civic work too. And especially being in this district, in District 5, with, you know, the wonderful John Lewis representing you, doing all that you can to go support the arts and enjoy the arts and revel in the diversity of voices in Atlanta, I think is a political and civic act as much as it is calling your congresspeople.
Lauren, I think the arts, and in this instance, theater in particular, really puts the civility in civil discourse. Congratulations to you. And Rachel May, Rachel Frawley, Heidi Howard, thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Lois.
The reading of Lauren Gunderson's play, The Taming, takes place at Seven Stages Theater in Little Five Points tomorrow evening at 7. Entrance is free. And if that's not enough from Lauren Gunderson for you, the playwright herself will appear at Synchronicity Theater this May to perform her one-woman bluegrass musical based on King Lear. It's called The Heath. You're listening to City Lights on WABE Atlanta.